The parasha begins. Vayishlach Yaakov Malach in the front of Esav Achiv Eretz Seir Sdei Edom. It begins with Yaakov sending messengers or angels to ahead of him to Esav, and we know I'm not going to read all the psukim, but the basic idea is that he sent messages telling Esav that he's sending a gift to Esav. And the messengers or the angels come back and they say that Esav's coming with 400 men and presumably with not the most peaceful of intentions. And Pasuk continues on the top of page 172. Pasuk Ches, it says, Vayira Yaakov Ma'ot Vayetzalo. Excuse me, just 1 second. All right. Distraction, that light. Vayira Yaakov Ma'ot Vayetzalo. Yaakov became very frightened. Vayetzalo, and it distressed him. So he divided the people with him and the flocks, cattle, and camels into two camps. So here's the first question, which we've discussed in previous years. But I hope that this year I have some new insights to share. It says, Vayira, Yaakov was afraid. Now, excuse me 1 second. Yaakov was afraid, says Rashi. Why was he afraid? He says, Vayira Shema Yehorek, he was afraid that maybe he's going to be killed. Well, later on, Yaakov says he's afraid that he and his family may be killed. He's distressed because maybe he'll have to kill others. So the first question right over here is about this fear. Vayira Yaakov. Yaakov became frightened. And the question, well, the way we asked the question once before, which is actually, I think a very strong way to ask the question is that later on in the Chumash, we have, if you want, you can look at it. It's on page 1038, it's in Parshas Devarim. We have the following idea. Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to the Jewish people. It's on page 1038. It says, when you go out to the battle against your enemy, and you will see sus v'rechev, horse and chariot, am rav mincha, people more numerous than you. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the people, it's going to come a time, you'll go to war, and you're going to see that the army, you're fighting an army that seems to be very well, very well equipped, and you're outnumbered. Says Moshe Rabbeinu to the people, Lo siro mehem, Lo siro mehem, you shall not fear them. Ki Hashem lekech imach amach meretz Mitzrayim, for Hashem your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So the question is, doesn't it seem that Yaakov Avinu here is, his fear seems to be inconsistent with a mitzvah? Rabbi Yonah in the Sefer Shai Tshuva actually brings this idea of not being afraid of the army that outnumbers you. He calls it one of the negative commandments of the Torah, that when a person is faced with a dangerous situation that seems likely to not to end well. He says there's a negative prohibition of the Torah, not lo sir mehem, don't be afraid. In other words, the way it describes it there is that a person has to strengthen himself in, I don't know if he uses that word, but we would use the word bitachon. A person should strengthen himself in his trust and his faith in Hashem, that Hashem can get him out of this. So, lo sir mehem, not to be afraid. And here, this sounds to be a exactly parallel situation where we have we have Yaakov Avinu facing an enemy of outnumbered. He's outnumbered. Yeah, Esav is coming with 400 men, and instead of Lo Siro Mehem, instead of not being afraid, it says Vayira Yaakov Od. Yaakov was afraid. Not only afraid, he was very afraid. And we can't just write this off and say that Yaakov Avinu was wrong, because we know that our Chazal teach us that what we're told about as a general rule, what we're told about our avos in the Torah, what we're told about our patriarchs in the Torah, are things that we're supposed to be emulating. Masi Agiu Masi Lamasi Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. A person is supposed to look at what Avram Yitzchak Yaakov did, and unless with some very very few exceptions where we're told that there was a fault of some kind, we assume that what they were doing was correct. And here, there seems to be an outright contradiction between the Yaakov's Avinu's reaction to being faced with being outnumbered by Esav and his men, and the reaction that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people for all time to have when faced with similar situations. So how do we reconcile that? That's question number one for today, which again, I think may be familiar to some of you who've been here in previous years, but that's the question I wanted to talk a little bit about tonight as well. The truth is, it's really even a stronger question. It's not just that there's a general idea that when a person is faced by danger and something that seems to be the odds seem to be against the person, that there's this concept of losirimam, of not being afraid. But over here, Yaakov Avinu was the recipient of an explicit promise from Hashem that Hashem is going to guard him and take care of him. At the beginning of last week's parasha, we spoke about this took him last week. At the beginning of last week's parasha, we have Hashem telling Yaakov Avinu, you don't have to turn the pages now, but you'll recall that Hashem said, "Behine anochi imach." Hashem says, "I am with you, ushmarticha b'chol asher telech, and I will guard you wherever you go." I'll return you to this soil, to the land of Israel. Ki lo azovcha, I will not forsake you. And later on in the parasha, right before Yaakov Avinu set on his journey back, Hashem said to him again, I will be with you. So Hashem told Yaakov Avinu specifically that I'm going to guard you. I'm not going to forsake you. I will be with you. So, what does Yaakov have to? Why is he afraid? It's not just a question that there's a general concept of bitachon. Here we have an idea that Hashem gave an explicit promise to Yaakov. So, the truth is that as far as this second question goes, this is already addressed by Rashi, and it's really addressed in the Gemara. Rashi paraphrases the Gemara. Gemara asked this question, that how was Yaakov Avinu afraid when Hashem told him that he's going to take care of Hashem? The Gemara asked this very question, and Rashi alludes to it also. And Rashi in Pasuk Yud Aleph over here, where the page 172, where Yaakov is davening, and he says, "Katonti mikol achasadim mikol emes asher asisas avdecha." Actually, Yaakov Avinu himself alludes to the fact that Hashem made a promise to him in Pasuk Yud. Yaakov says to Hashem that you told me to go back to the land, and I will do good with you. So Hashem, he alludes to that. But then the next Pasuk, he says, "I've been diminished. I've been diminished by the kindness and the truth." And Rashi explains that he says two things. Rashi, first of all, he says that my zuchusim, my merits became reduced because of all the chesed that Hashem did to me. That's why I'm afraid. He says, and then he says, that's why I'm afraid. And then he continues, he says two things. First, he says, my zuchusim are reduced. And then he says, Shema mishi hivtachtani nislachlachti bechet. He says, maybe after the time that I was promised, I became soiled by sin. And that will cause me to be given over in the hands of Esav. So there seems to be a concept here, and Gemara spells out this concept, that even when Hashem makes a promise to a tzaddik that I'm going to take care of you, there's a way that promise could be suspended or something like that, or be rendered irrelevant, and it won't be carried out. And that is if mislachlachti bechet, in the words of Rashi, it's really the Gemara's words, that if a person becomes soiled by sin. And I heard a very very nice way of explaining that from there's a Rav in Muncie whose name is Rabbi Schlesinger, who says wonderful shiurim on chumash. He says it in Yiddish, but it's available in recording. And I didn't haven't listened to them for a long time, but today I listened a little bit to his share of Hashva Yishlach. Some of the things I'm saying comes from there. I'll give the credit where it's due. So here he says, he said a very nice thought. He said that the idea is that just like the Gemara tells us, he didn't call this Gemara, but what he said is we know there's a concept, you're probably familiar with the concept, that sometimes when somebody is, when Elena was unfortunately very ill, there's an idea that sometimes they change the person's name, or they add a name to the person. And what's that idea of changing the person's name? So it's really based on the Gemara, that the Gemara says that there's a concept that if there's a gzar din, if there's a heavenly decree heavenly decree against a person, so it could sometimes be alleviated by a change of name. What's the idea of a change of name? So the idea of a change of name is a change of identity. That the concept is, we actually have, Rashi actually brings this, I'm remembering now, and I think in Parshas Lech Lecha, where it says that Avram and Sarai, they weren't able to have, according to the way the world was created, and perhaps the original Zerah, they weren't able to have any children. So how was it that they had children? They had children because Hashem changed their name. Avram became Avraham, Sarai became Sarah, and now they can have children. Right? I think that's the same concept. So the idea is that there could be a change of identity. Now, just changing a name, how much does that change the identity? We know that Chazal tell us that it could, but it's probably not such a strong method of changing identity. There is a certain element of identity that's attached to the name, and if we can officially change the person's name, that changes the person's identity in some way. But perhaps there are other ways and probably stronger ways that a person can change their identity. And one of the ways, and this seems to be working over here in the negative, is that a person can change their identity by their actions. A person can act in certain ways that they become almost like a new person because of the way they act. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva, I think, says that a person does tshuva, he should have that idea, that concept that I'm a different person. So here, this is the same concept of working in the negative, possibly, that when Hashem promised Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to be with you, that was all assuming that Yaakov Avinu retains his identity. He doesn't become someone else. As long as he remains essentially who he is, then the promise is going to be carried out. However, there's always a risk, there's always a danger that through this lachlachti bechet, through becoming soiled means to the extent that a person gets so dirty, they're not recognizable. You can't even tell who they are anymore. So maybe that's kind of like the analogy for this idea that a person, the Yaakov Avinu was concerned that he did something, he made some mistakes to the point that it made him unrecognizable, and it changed his identity to the point that the promise that Hashem made to him was no longer applicable. Because he wasn't anymore the same person who was the recipient of that promise. And I think it's a very logical way of understanding this concept. So this is what Yaakov Avinu was afraid of. The promise may not be applicable anymore. But it doesn't answer, that answers that question, but it still leaves us with the other question that, yeah, that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people generations later when you're up against an enemy army, that's outnumbering you, you shouldn't be afraid. And that, that seems to be even without any specific promise. And especially the way we said Rabbi Yon understands it as being a general idea in every person's life. When we're faced with such kinds of situations, we shouldn't be afraid. We should have bitachon. We should have trust in Hashem. So why doesn't Yaakov Avinu have that kind of trust? And why does it still say that he's afraid? So I think that question still remains. And, I want to add one further question to this mix before we try to get to some answers. Is the Ramban's question. The Ramban says that Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu was saying that I may have lost my access to this promise. The promise may not be applicable to me anymore. Says the Ramban, if we look at what Yaakov Avinu said in his prayer, in his tefillah, it seems to contradict that idea altogether, because we find Yaakov Avinu himself making reference to the promise. Even though in Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk 11, he says, I've become diminished, and Rashi learns that means that maybe I lost access to the promise. But in Pasuk Yud Gimel, in Pasuk 13, which is the end, the closing of his prayer, he says, Tashem, Va'ata Amarta, and you said, Heitev Eitev Imach, I will surely do good with you. And I will make your offspring like the sand of the sea, which is too numerous to count. So Yaakov Avinu is going back to the promise. And he's saying, you promised. So even though he just said, according to the way Rashi learned, he just said that I may have lost the promise. So why is he going back and now referencing the promise again? That's the Ramban's question on Rashi's interpretation. Okay, so just to briefly recap, basically we're asking pretty much one question, which is, why is Yaakov afraid? And there's a question over here, he was promised, but maybe he thinks he lost his promise, and then he comes back to the promise, and then there's an idea that even if there wouldn't be any promise, we still don't understand why he should be afraid in light of the mitzvah of having bitachon in the face of being outnumbered. Well, that's what we want to try to get to. So, I want to share with you something that what I think is perhaps the main answer to this question. I want to share with you an answer to this question, an explanation of Yaakov Avinu's fear that I saw in the commentary of the Bar Brunel, and I believe the Rambam, in one of his works, also says a similar idea. The Bar Brunel says that Yaakov Avinu, he doesn't ask the question from Devarim, but he just seems to be addressing the question in general. Why is Yaakov Avinu afraid? It seems to be not the right thing. It's supposed to have betochen. So the way he explains it is as follows: the Bar Brunel says that, yeah, of course, Yaakov Avinu had bitachon. He says, no question. He says, however, there's a human being. Basically, what he says is Yaakov Avinu was human. This is pretty much his answer. Yaakov Avinu was human. And what do we mean Yaakov Avinu was human? What we mean is the following, that I'll try to give you an example from another area. Okay. So we have an idea that there's all sorts of character traits that human beings have, and there's a mitzvah that we're supposed to work on our character. The Rambam says, let's learn from the mitzvah following the ways of Hashem, and we're supposed to work on our character. So one example of a negative character trait is kas, anger. Okay, so getting angry, anger is not a good thing in general. As a rule, anger is Chazal said, not great things to say about a person who gets angry. We know a person gets angry, he loses himself, he can do all sorts of things that he normally would realize that there are bad things to do. The Gemara says someone who gets angry is as if he worships idols. There's strong things about anger. However, does that mean that any time a person who is something presses the person's buttons and the person has a feeling, has an emotion, anger after all starts with an emotion. It could be there's more to it than an emotion, but there's an emotion, a feeling of anger. Does that mean that whenever if a person has a feeling, an emotion of anger, that automatically means that this person is doing an avera, this person is doing something, a transgression, it's a sin to feel the emotion of anger? So I think the answer to that is certainly not. Certainly just feeling an emotion without any choice. If something pushes the person's buttons and it just a person's anger flares up, we can't say that that person did an avera. What we could say is that when that emotion is aroused, now the person has a choice. What are they going to do with that anger? Are they going to follow that impulse to take out the anger and do negative things? Or are they going to use their seichel, use their mind to control themselves and not allow the anger to push them in negative directions? That's where it's at. So says the Baruch, give some other examples to that, but he basically says it's not an aver to have a Yetzer Hara. That's not his words, but that's the way I understand what he's saying. The fact that Yetzer Hara, meaning an impulse to do something wrong, is not in and of itself necessarily a person's fault. That could be something totally beyond the person's control. So he says that the same thing applies to something like fear. He says when somebody is confronted with a situation, a life-threatening, dangerous situation, the physical part of the person automatically is going to feel fear, and that person can't be faulted for that. That's human. So he seems to say that even Yaakov Avinu, if he's confronted with his mighty army of his brother who's trying to kill him, that there should be some emotional, impulsive reaction on an emotional level of fear. There's nothing wrong with that. What bitachon means is that you, after that comes to a person thinks about it and thinks, one second, what am I really afraid of? This person's not in charge. Hashem is in charge. And when a person does that, that alleviates the fear, and that's what the mitzvah is. And I think that I would imagine what Rav Avinu would say is that when Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, when you come to war and you're confronted with this mighty army, don't be afraid. He's not saying don't have the automatic emotional reaction of fear, because that's not in the person's control. What he's saying is don't allow that fear to carry you. As soon as that fear comes, you should tell yourself, I have nothing to be afraid of. Hashem is with me. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was a much more mighty nation. And the odds were against us much more. So why should I be afraid? Hashem is with us. Hashem can do whatever he wants. And that's what the mitzvah is. And Yaakov Avinu did the same thing. It's just saying the Vayira is not what Yaakov Avinu did after the impulse. It's just describing the impulse itself, which was not a choice. That's the way the Barbanella explains it.
Rabbi, can I ask just a comment?
Sure.
The analogy between anger and fear is emotion, and what follows after. I understand. I hear anger there's nothing good about anger, and the action that can follow after that could be bad. But and fear, we don't have control over, but I kind of look at fear as a gift of Hashem, because the action that follows after that may be you saving your own life or that of somebody else.
That That's true. You're right. You're right that there's a very big distinction between the fear and the anger. But at the end of the day, it seems to be that even fear is only meant as the positive part of fear is if we take the trigger of the fear and do good things with it. But we shouldn't allow the fear to control us. We have to be in control of what we're doing with the fear. I think the main point that I'm trying to say is that the emotion may be not in our control. But what we do with it afterwards, that's where our mind and our control has to come in and do it. Yes, you're right. Anger, usually the anger is not going to, I mean, it's possible that anger will get us to do something good, but usually not. Whereas fear often will get us to do something, more often will get us to do something, things that are good. Although fear too can sometimes take us the wrong way. I know there's people that get carried away with fear and they get paralyzed and they don't do things that they should be doing because of irrational fear. So I don't think it's a black and white kind of thing. I understand what you're saying, that fear is a gift and anger is.
I hear your distinction.
Right. Okay. So that's what the Barbanel says. Now, I personally find it a little bit difficult to take that as the whole explanation here, because although Yaakov, perhaps, I mean, he wasn't, in the end of the day, he was a human being, he wasn't an angel, but Yaakov Avinu was very close to an angel. We see that he was sending angels to Esav. In the end of last week's parsha, he just met up with angels. We don't know what that means exactly, but we're obviously talking about a person who's on a very high spiritual level with a very, very strong awareness of Hashem. And to say that his natural reaction was to be very afraid just on a physical level, I don't find that satisfying. I think that it's not, to me, it seems that it's not giving Yaakov Avinu the credit that he deserves as to what kind of level that he's on. I don't mean to say that he wasn't human at all, but I think there has to be more to it to explain by Yira Yaakov Ma'od that he was very afraid. So for that, I think we have to go back to an explanation that I saw years ago, and I think I've shared this in the past, from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his commentary to Mishlei, he also discusses this by Yira Yaakov in the context of Bitachon. He basically asked the question that where was Yaakov's Bitachon? Why was he afraid? And he says, and I think he may even ask the question from the pasuk of the horses and chariots. I don't remember if he does or not, but the answer that he gives is the following. He makes a very subtle but very vital distinction. He says, depends what. But when a person is confronting with a big army, whether it's Yaakov 400 against the 400 men or the Jewish people in some later time, a big army, a person could be afraid. But there's two different kinds of fear. The normal natural fear that most people would have would be this physical fear that looking at it in by laws of nature, which is that, you know, these people are, you know, I'm probably going to die because these people are, I'm overwhelmed by the strength of this enemy army. And he says that's the kind of fear that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying not to have, because we have to realize that Hashem is stronger than the mightiest army. And if Hashem is on our side, we have nothing to worry about. So there's nothing about this army intrinsically that I should be afraid of, in the sense that the odds are against me from living just because of that army. That's what the pasuk there is saying. Yaakov Avinu's fear is coming from somewhere else. He says Yaakov was afraid. Basically, he says he was afraid not of Esav, he was afraid of Hashem. And what does that mean? So there's an idea that the Gemara tells us. Satan Mekashrik Besas Beshas Takonim. Which literally means that the Satan, the prosecutor, is prosecuting at a time of danger. Rashi brings it later on, I think, by the story of Yosef and Binyamin. And I think the right way there's different ways of understanding it, but I think one way of understanding it is that when Hashem puts a person in a situation where where according to the natural course of things, it's dangerous. So that's a reflection of the fact that there's a spiritual danger to the person. Meaning, spiritual danger, meaning that the person is in spiritual trouble in the sense that Satan Mekatrig, that there's a kitruk, there's a prosecution going on against him in heaven. Meaning that the danger that a person finds himself in this world is meant as a message to the person that there's something wrong here. There's some reason why this person is being threatened. He's not just being threatened by what's going on down here, but there's a spiritual threat to the person in the sense that the person is in danger of deserving the midas hadin, deserving the divine judgment to be against him. There's some kind of, he's being faced, Satan Mekatrik, he's being faced by a prosecution in the heavenly court. And that, so when Yaakov Avinu saw, this is the way the Ben Yonah explains it, this way I remember, the way I understood it, says when Yaakov Avinu saw that Esau was coming 400 men against him, so he understood that to mean that, one second, there must be some kind, why is Hashem putting me in a situation that on the face of it, in physical, worldly terms, I'm in danger. It must be that there's some kind of spiritual danger that I got myself into by my actions, and that's why he was concerned that it's not l'slach lachti b'chet. So that's the idea that when a person is faced by danger, and you know, maybe we can put the two things together. Person's faced by danger, there's a natural reaction of fear, but immediately a person has to tell himself, what am I really afraid of? The only one to be afraid of is Hashem. There's nothing else. There's no one else. Nothing else can do anything to me. So that's betachim. And on the other hand, Hashem, I need to be afraid of. Meaning, I need to understand that I may be being judged right now. If I'm in a situation that looks dangerous, they're judging me in Shemayim whether I should live or whether I shouldn't live in a life-threatening situation. And therefore, I have to be afraid of Hashem and have my relationship to Hashem is the thing that's most important to be concerned with at a time like that. And that's how he explains by Yira Yaakov Ma'od that Yaakov was very afraid and he did react by tefillah, by speaking, by talking to Hashem, yes, also taking care of physical, like you said before, Mark, we have to take care of our lives also. We have to do things to save our lives, but that's what Hashem wants us to do. It's not in the sense that we're afraid of the other people, but it's the sense that we have mitzvahs to do, we have actions that Hashem wants us to do, and ultimately to return to Hashem with davening. And that's what we learned from the way Yaakov Avinu did this here. So now, That's the way to deal with the question of the fear. The fear was fear of Hashem. But we still have the other question, which is why is Yaakov talking about the promise? If it's true that he was afraid that the promise was lost, so why is he still talking about the promise? So here again, this Rabbi Schlesinger, you said a beautiful idea that Rashi says something very 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 interesting. He points out something very peculiar, I think, about what Yaakov Avinu said. He said to Hashem that you said, Heitev Eitev, Pasuk Yud Gimel again, V'ata Amarta Heitev Eitev Imach, you said, I will surely do good with you. V'samti Azerach K'chol Hayom, Shalom Yosof Merov, and I will make your offspring like the sand of the sea, which is too numerous to count. So Rashi points out, where did Hashem tell Yaakov that I will make your offspring like the sand of the sea? There's actually no pasuk, says Rashi, nowhere do we find that Hashem told Yaakov directly that I will make your offspring like the sand of the sea. At the beginning of last week's parasha, Hashem told Yaakov, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. The sand of the sea was not what Hashem told Yaakov. Well, so what is he referring to? Says Rashi, Hashem, you know who Hashem said that to? Hashem said that to Avram. Hashem told Avram, I will make your offspring like the sand of the sea. So Yaakov is saying that that Hashem said, I'm gonna fulfill the promise to Avram. So that, and the promise to Avram was the sand of the sea. The sand of the sea. But that really begs the question: why is Yaakov referring to the promise that Hashem made to Avram? Why isn't he referring to the promise Hashem made directly to him? Right? So here we have a very, very important principle to answer this question. That we said before that Yaakov Avinu was concerned that the promise was not applicable anymore because he was afraid that maybe nislachlachti b'chet, maybe I became soiled in sin, and I'm not anymore the one who received this promise. Said Yaakov Avinu when he davened, he said, yes, that's true. But I'm still asking for the fulfillment of the promise. Why? Because I'm asking for the fulfillment of a different promise. Not the promise you made to me, but the promise you made to Avram. He says, Rashi, and this really fits in beautifully because Rashi explains the first half of the pasuk. Yaakov Avinu said two things. The second half of what he said was that Hashem said you should make me like the dust of the earth. But the first half of pasuk of Gimel says, "Va'ata amarta," you said, "Heitev eitiv imach." Heitev eitiv imach. The way they translate it is, "I will surely do good with you." But it says this double good. Heitev eitiv. I will do good with you. Rashi says, "What's this double good?" Heitev eitiv. Heitev bischuscha. I will do good in your merit. I will do good in the merit of your forefathers. So here it is. Yaakov Avinu is saying as follows. He's saying that it's true that I have to be afraid that the promise doesn't apply to me anymore, but I'm still davening to Hashem that there should be a fulfillment of the promise that you made not to me, but that you made to my forefathers. Because there's a big difference between if we say Hashem said the promise to me personally, then I can lose the promise if I change who I am. But if the promise was not what that I'm referring to is not the promise to me personally, but it was the promise that was made to my grandfather, to Avram Avinu, that I will make your offspring like the sand of the sea. So there, Yaakov Avinu is saying that I could still possibly merit the fulfillment of the promise that's made to my grandfather, not in my own schus, not in my own merit, but in the merit of being the means to fulfill the promise to my grandfather. And that's the promise that Yaakov Avinu was asking for. Now, it's possible, he pointed out, the Zerbe Shlazik, it's possible to even lose that because, you know, the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, it says if they would have stayed any longer in Egypt, they wouldn't have been redeemed from Egypt. So the question is, Hashem promised Avram to take out his descendants from Egypt. So the answer is, and he refers to this, the Beis Halevi, as one of the classic commentators actually says this. He says that it's possible that the Jewish people, if they would have sunk any further, they would have been so far gone that they would not even have been considered descendants of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov anymore. A person can lose their connection to their ancestors. If they have, the only reason why we have the access to the merit of our ancestors is because there's a little bit of our ancestors in us. We're still following in their ways. It's something we have a connection to them. We are, our identity is still an identity to being descendants of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, which is, so Yaakov Avinu was saying, I may possibly have lost my schus for myself, but hopefully I didn't lose the schus that I have as being a grandson of Avram Avinu. And then that's the answer to the Ramban's question. That's why, even though he didn't, he just said that I'm afraid I lost my schus to the promise, but he still asked for the promise of the being like the sand of the sea which was the promise to Avram, that should be fulfilled through him. So this is something I think we can take from all of this is, this is a tremendous lesson that we have from Yaakov Avinu, that how do we deal with situations, frightening situations, where Hashem should protect us for, but we all in our lives go through situations that sometimes are frightening, sometimes we see are threatening, and yeah, and the way we have to react is we learn from Yaakov Avinu. On the one hand, there may be a natural fear that we have. We shouldn't beat ourselves up for that. That's natural. But on the other hand, we have to realize, like Hashem told Moshe, like Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people on Yaakov Avinu, also realize immediately that it's not about Esav and it's not about the big dangerous situation. It's only about Hashem. Hashem is in control of everything. But at the same time, we have to realize if it's a sakana, maybe it's a message that we have some fixing ourselves up to do. And ultimately, we have to turn to the schus of our ancestors. And as we know, every time we get up and we daven Shmoneh Esrei, and every time we have our formal daven to Hashem, we begin, Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, the God of our forefathers, the God of Avram, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Yaakov. And because that is the, that's what we can have confidence in. We can't necessarily have confidence in our own schusim. We don't know where we stand necessarily. We all know the mistakes that we make. But the thing that we could have confidence in, especially if we're trying to connect ourselves to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, we're trying to follow in their footsteps, which we, especially these parshas of the Torah, when we think about them, when we try to figure out how to incorporate the things from our ancestors in our lives, so then we can come in front of Hashem and we can say, "Va'ato amarta heitei ve'itavimoch," that you, Hashem, promised that you'll do good to us in the schus of our ancestors, and that way Hashem will listen to our prayers and will deliver us from whatever danger we may find ourselves in.